Right, that was, I'll tell you what that was in a bit, because it'll lead into the next thing better. Anyway, the start of that little run of three things was Melt Banana from their new album Cellscape, and that was called If It Is the Deep Sea, I Can See You Here. After that, Sonny Rollins from Plus Four, which was recorded in 1956 with Match Rokes on the drums, and that was called Count Your Blessings. Then an advert came in, and then after that was I Don't Believe Him, Donna, by Lenny Miles. And we've played that because our last guest here on One Way Single Parent Family Favourites on Resonance 104.4 FM, which you can also get on the internet if you live outside a 5 mile radius of central London, is Lucy Porter, who's a comedian. Hello.
Hello.
You all right?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you? Did you have a nice weekend and stuff?
Yeah, I did actually.
Thank you.
I can't remember what I did though. I said yeah. I took a toddler around the Natural History Museum.
That's fun.
Well, they like dinosaurs, don't they?
Yeah, I know. Well, I've got a six-year-old, and he's... Well, I haven't got a six-year-old. I've got a six-year-old nephew, and he loves it. They ask, like, questions, though, which I find really, you know, annoying, because I don't know anything about anything, and you just see loads of other kind of, like, parents and carers and stuff looking completely baffled and just kind of making stuff up.
I know. I had to do that, because he asked... he was looking at this... he asked what cells were, and he's only four. And I thought, well, he doesn't. If I tell him that his body is composed of millions upon millions of tiny individual items that all contain in them a replica of the DNA needed to reconstruct him elsewhere, that could be really. He's just about coping with Father Christmas and stuff. That could be really.
Then you'd
bad.
Have to get onto cancer and stuff like that,
know,
and it would just
nightmare.
All be yeah. terrible. Yeah.
But I Don't Believe Him, Donna. That's about lying.
It's not a great record, I don't think, but it's quite nice because it's one of the only records that I've ever heard where the backing singers are kind of arguing with the main singer. I just think that's quite an interesting sort of little device.
What are they doing? I didn't notice that.
Well, he's basically saying, oh, I love you, you're brilliant, Donna, quah, and they're all going, no, shut up, he's completely a liar, he told me the same thing too. Or he told us the same thing too, I think they say, which is like weird that they're all sort of his exes arranged in the studio as his backing singers, but...
When I was a younger man, I used to think if I died, I wanted at my funeral there to be a motorcycle display team of people I'd gone out with, all piled up on each other's shoulders. That'd be good. Maybe that's what Lenny Miles was thinking. He wanted to get them all in a room to sort it out. But you're doing a show about lying, are you?
I am doing a show basically about lying, yes.
Is that in it?
Well, because I was trying to think, because I sort of need sort of playing music, and I was sort of having a little look. It was quite good coming here today because it made me sort of look through my record collection.
Oh, I'm glad it was some use.
And it's been useful already, no matter what else happens, even if it goes horribly wrong now, it's been great. But I don't know, maybe if I something to think about is songs about lying, and I'm kind of drawing a bit of a blank at the moment.
So you're doing, is it an hour of stand-up about lies, or... Is that just a thing that you have to put at the start because it's about your fifth show and you need to make it sound different to the others?
Yeah, it's kind of a peg to sort of desperately kind of crowbar in the material that I've been doing in the clubs for the last year, in many ways. But yeah, the theme is kind of great. So it's got a sort of thematic strength to it that I think my normal set doesn't, because I think an hour of stand up is just a lot. So if you've got something where you can just, you know, the audience can at least know that you've got sort of, you know, you say at the beginning, I've got sort of 10 things I'm going to cover, and then they, you know, if they're hating it by the time you've got to eight, then at least
they
go.
They might not believe you though if they know it's about lies.
That's very true. I know. It's lies within lies, and there are lies in the show, and there's,
Do you tell the truth on stage to stand up about your life? Would you
lie? This is the whole point, actually, why I started doing it, because I just thought I was really untruthful and had all those. Because you know when you see stand ups, right, and you've done the circuit and things, and and there's sort of the conventions that everybody talks about smoking dope, and then you sort of are in the dressing room with them afterwards, and they don't smoke dope, and they're kind of like Christians and very clean living or whatever. You get like blokes who sort of say, oh, I'm really lonely and I'm really sad, and loads of blokes go on and say, oh, I'm single, and they're married, and but they're shagging around or whatever.
That's partly why I can't. I mean, I did it all the time for 10 years, and the last 2 years I haven't done a lot of gigs, and it's partly because I had the persona of being annoyed or depressed, and I became quite happy in my life, and then felt that I couldn't really do it.
Yeah,
couldn't really sort of fake it, and I hadn't worked out. For example, that bloke who's just in, Gary Lestrange, yeah. That's not a real person. That's a bloke called Wayne Shepherd pretending. He wouldn't mind, he wouldn't be annoyed if you... So he can, like, step into that. But unless you've got, like, a really strong persona, you get caught up in it, don't you?
Well, yeah, if your persona is just an extension of yourself, you do... Because I found myself, like, things like... And it's just stupid little things, but, like, you know, I had this gag where I'd always end the show by going, oh, anyway, so I'm off to a club now, and then I had some... rubbish little gag about yeah. going out clubbing, and then it was just always really awful because people would sort of come up to me and then just go, what club are you going to? And then there's just that moment where you sort of go, well, shall I could just say a club and then that would be an easy conversation, or I could say, look, what you don't understand about stand-up seemingly is that, you know, like, I think audiences kind of know to an extent that it's all rubbish because obviously jokes are lies essentially, yeah. because, you know, but
jokes,
but
they, are lies. Jokes
and, it's all lies. Yeah. But they still kind of believe bits within yourself. I think it's really, because I used to have a thing as well about my mum being from Sicily, right? And she's technically not from Sicily, she's from a place called Coventry, right. which isn't that similar.
Yeah, yeah.
And people would kind of, you know, come up and go, you know, and sort of say, oh, you know, so your mum's Sicilian. And that kind of made me feel really awful, because that is me basically just standing on stage and saying something that people go, oh my God, I've got Sicilian relatives, and oh, I can have a chat with her about that. And then you sort of just feel really rubbish having to say, because once you've said that to an audience member, once they say, oh, you know, where's your mum from in Sicily? And you go, actually, she's not. Then the whole thing kind of falls apart.
Terrible thing happened to me in Newcastle, where I used to do this bit about hating children and not wanting to ever have babies, right? I didn't really have an opinion about it, but it was just seemed funny to say that, because people kind of get upset because people like children, yeah. and if you say you really don't like them, they kind of... And, you know, from whence the humour arose, obviously, like, you know. And then at the end of it, once in Newcastle, this woman came up to me and she went, I really like that bit you did about hating babies. And I went, oh, thanks. And she went, I hate babies as well.
Oh.
And I went, well, I don't really hate babies. It's just a joke, you know. It's just, and she went, no, I really hate them. It's good to hear someone saying it. And I went, yeah, well, you know, it's just something like, it doesn't mean anything. And she went, in fact, I hate them so much that I've been sterilised so that I can never conceive. And because I had been sectioned earlier on in my life, I had to get a special dispensation to be allowed to do that. And it was really great hearing someone articulate my feelings of disgust for children.
No,
I was going,
way.
Oh, well, it was only a joke, you know. And then I thought, well, you have to be careful, don't you, what you put out into the world.
Yeah. Well, it's like Al Murray, like, you know, I've seen Al Murray doing the pub landlord, and then people come up afterwards and they go, yeah, I hate the French as well.
I know, yeah, my dad did that, actually. I took my dad to see him, and my dad, Al Murray, does this act where he pretends to be a sort of racist pub landlord and slags off all people from different countries all through the way through it. And at the end, my dad went, he was right, especially about the Welsh. But you know what? The only thing I didn't agree with him was he made fun of Jesus at one point, and that's not on. It's so bent, their logic of those people. Anyway, there you are. But so, are you expecting people to pick you up afterwards and go, not literally pick you up, but they could, because you look small.
Will they
pick you up on details? Are you inviting cross-examination?
Well, yeah, I've tried to sort of put a couple of things in the show that, you know, that should be, they're almost like magic, really, but in stand-up form, where it's kind of like, I will do something and then something will happen later on, and it sort of, there are sort of logic gaps and there are sort of things like that where I kind of hope that people will notice. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of stand-up gigs you think probably not. I think in Edinburgh show you get more of those sort of people who are actually
More switched on.
Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, you know, a lot of gigs you turn up and, you know, you just talk about sex and drinking and that's all they want to hear or whatever. But
where are you on though?
I'm on the Underbelly at the Haunted Venue,
right,
which
time?
I didn't know about. 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it's true about those ghosts. You know, Janie Godley. Do you know
her? Yeah. Well, she's about there again, though.
Oh, right. Well, she's got, she either has or thinks she's got psychic powers.
Yeah, no, she's read me on.
Yeah, she's read me actually. Freaked me. It really freaked me out.
Was it good? And
well, it was true. Which is interesting, because you're talking about lies. She came up with a lot, and she keeps emailing me about once a month with just predictions for my future, and then they come true. But one that she gave me about a month ago was that I'm going to fall over on a beach and break my leg.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I thought, normally dismiss what she said, I'm not interested in that. But then it does come true. But I had to go to South Shields recently, and I didn't. I walked along the harbour bit, but I wouldn't go on the beach because I was frightened that I'd break my leg. But if she says it's going to happen and she talks to dead people at the Underbelly venue in Edinburgh, it's going to happen, isn't it?
It's worth not going to the beach for one summer, isn't it, I think? Just to...
Yeah, but I mean, If it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on a beach, whether I like it or not.
Well, you'll be caught in some, yeah, there'll be some sand nearby or something, or I don't know. Or you'll slip on a copy of The Beach by Alex Garland.
Could be that.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. But, I mean, she's scared of the... You're not scared of the ghosts at the underbelly, though, are you?
Well, not really. Well, I have absolutely no psychic tendencies. So I went to stay in a house in... it's in Sussex, and it's like Anne of Cleves house or something.
Right.
And I was with my friend Wendy, who is a little bit sort of psychic like that, and a dog, her dog, Boo. And the dog went absolutely mental. And there was just like... We were just been down the pub, and then we came back just sitting around. The dog went absolutely mental. Nothing was going on. And Wendy got, like, really freaked out. And there was obviously something there. And I was completely... I mean, I was slightly drunk, but I think, anyway, I'm just completely oblivious to that sort of thing. So
I'd take that dog to the underbelly venue in Edinburgh with me, like a canary. Yeah. Like mine is having a canary, having a ghost dog.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's play another song about lies. And this is Big... Have you ever seen Big Star? Did you see him when they got back together?
No.
It was very exciting.
I would very much like to.
Anyway, this is Big Star, and it's called Don't Lie to Me. Yeah, right. So back there, we had the first track in that, which was Big Star. From number one record, Don't Lie to Me. And then a bit of John Zorn's Masada, and you can see John Zorn. And you can see John. This is really funny when you're doing radio and you start to say radio things, you become really self-conscious. And you can see John Zorn 2 weeks today at the Barbican with the Masada Quartet. But I actually saw John Zorn more recently than that, because I was in New York, and I went in a jazz record shop, and John Zorn, who is a New York jazz musician, came in and bought some records. And that is the most New York jazz thing that can possibly happen to you in your life. And after that, Blind Lemon Jefferson and a bit of, what was that? Jack of Diamonds Blues. But he wasn't a lemon. He was blind, but he wasn't a lemon. He lied. And Lucy Porter's here talking about, she's doing a stand-up show themed around lies. But that's not all you do, is it?
It's not all I do.
What else are you up to at the moment?
I've been doing some bits of writing of things, and very excitingly next week I'm doing a stand-up gig for an advertising agency for their client is Persil.
Do you have to do stuff about Persil?
I want to do 15 minutes of... so I've got to write 15 minutes of stand-up about kind of what it's like doing your washing. Which is kind of just like such a weird little thing to do. But I think it might actually be quite good. You know, when you just think that sort of... It will concentrate my mind on something other than my Edinburgh show, which is a good thing. And, you know, and if I ever find myself in a room full of kind of embittered housewives who with chapped raw fingers, I'll know the kind of material to pluck out and please them. But it is, strange.
I only ever did one. I did one corporate gig about 13 years ago for... IBM or something, mm-hmm. on a boat, and I haven't so much got an ethical objection to them as just the fact that when you're playing to like people that all have a common interest, they're like a really small, like a normal audience, are all mixed up and they all go for different things. But those gigs, or sometimes when you do charity gigs and they're all supporters of a particular cause, they're really odd because they're not like a normal cross section of people.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
what do you think the Persil people will be like?
Oh, well, I have no idea. I think it's just mainly going to be sort of people from the company, so I'm sure they'll sit there stony faced but nodding, going, yeah, we can use that. Yeah, that's very funny. Actually, yeah, that's very funny. Because I've done, I did this awful, went for a meeting in this advertising agency where they had like the sort of meeting room that they took me into was like the walls were all made out of sort of blackboard, done with blackboard paint, so that they could, when they were brainstorming, they could write things up. And it was just like all the walls were covered with things, just words, random words like inspiration, and it was just an awful, awful environment. And because I've done like corporate gigs for advertising agencies before, and they are just, I hate to generalise, but quite often just very loathsome.
Yeah, well, and thieves, really. I mean, how many times do you just see something in an advert and you just think, I know exactly where that was stolen from,
I know.
And the person got no money for it.
I know. Well, like stand-ups, you know, like Milton Jones, I know, has had stuff nicked from, you know, by advertising people, because you know. Because I had some last year in Edinburgh, some like advertising people wanted to come in and see my show, and they phoned up like my PR person and said, "Oh, can we come and see the show? Can we get on the guest list?" And you think of all the like you work in advertising, the most kind
you
of like wasteful.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. It really drives me.
I used to do this bit right where I talked for about 15 minutes about a picture of a dog and a cat sitting at a piano, and someone from Cadbury's said, "Would you do that in an advert?" And I went, "Well, no." and anyway it wouldn't work because it's really long. And they went, well, yeah, but let's just, and I had to go, I went to this room in Soho and got paid 500 quid when I was 22 to perform this 15-minute routine to some people in an office who were all sitting in chairs, and of course it just seemed like the most boring thing in the world. And obviously, and then I could all see them looking at the woman who'd got me to go in, and they were kind of going like she was an idiot, yeah. You know, and I could have just told them it wasn't going to, I don't know, anyway, that was the only bit of advertising work I ever did, which was in a room for people that I just knew it wasn't going to work. Bizarre thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that theft thing, I mean, I know, Al Murray got asked, I think, to basically audition to do a beer advert, and it was just his stuff when he got there.
Wow. We're giving you the opportunity to perform your own material. It's like that one for toilet rolls where it's like obviously the woman from Keeping Up Appearances,
yeah,
and they've just employed someone who looks a bit like Patricia Routledge. I mean, you know, I mean,
that's just disgusting, isn't it?
Well, it is in any other sort of field, you know, if you just, you know, like, I mean, in music, you can't just cover someone's song without, you know.
And there's also that one where you get those people from Men Behaving Badly, and they're walking around a DIY shop, and they've basically got exactly the same relationship as they had in Men Behaving Badly, which presumably was invented by the writer, except they're calling each other by their real actor and actress names. It's just con merchants. Will you be touching on any of that in your Lies show?
Well, yeah, a bit. There's a bit of stuff about advertising in there. And the thing is, though, like, it's such a massive subject, and you do sort of, because I started writing it and I thought, well, you know, you've got to do like some political stuff. And I'm not really a kind of, you know, my act generally isn't very political. I mean, I write sort of satirical stuff for other people. But, you know, and there is, but I mean, most of what I do is kind of quite a little sort of small little anecdotes about, I'm quite sort of introverted and indeed possibly self-obsessed, so a lot of it is just about like me and my family. So that kind of, I'm still sort of, well, basically writing the show. I've got a preview tomorrow night in Soho.
Where?
It's at the Amused Moose at Barcode on Archer Street in Soho. In
what
the
time?
Little downstairs bar. I think I'm on at 10 o'clock, but before me there is lovely Carey Marks, who's going to be on about, I think he's on about 8, and then Andrew Clover, who's doing Super Cub, is the name of his show, and he's doing that at 9, and then I think I'm on about 10, although they'll probably overrun, so I'll be on at, like, you know, 10:30 when everyone's very drunk.
And where's the Edinburgh show? Where's the Edinburgh show again?
Edinburgh show is the Underbelly.
Haunted Underbelly.
Yeah, the Haunted Underbelly at 10 o'clock from, like, the, I think it's like the 31st of July, isn't it, until the 20th, till I collapse.
Till you've had enough.
At the end of August and never want to do stand-up again.
All right, let's have another bit of lie-based music. This is something from Luscious Jackson. The last of a trilogy of lie-based records that we played in honour of Lucy Porter, the comedian who's doing a show about, what's it called?
It's just called Lucy Porter Live at the Underbelly, because when I had to decide what it was called, I didn't know what it was going to be about.
It's going to be about lies anyway.
It's about lies.
Okay, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Also today we talked to Rick Bland, who's doing Thick at the Canadian Embassy and at Jongleurs 2 during the summer at the festival if you go up. And Gary Lestrange, who's really, is Wayne Shepherd, he's a normal bloke. And he's on at the Underbelly in the summer as well. And coming up next on is Calling All Pensioners, which is a great show to segue into. I've been Stuart Lee. I don't know when I'll be back, sometime in the summer. And next week is Pete Sargent or someone at midday here on One Way Single Parent Families on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm going to leave you with this track because I'm going to France tomorrow. And this is Serge Gainsbourg, and it's called Bonnie and Clyde. Bye!